St. Matthew's chapter 21, it says in the 17th verse, "And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, then doubt not. Ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, let's turn over to the book of Mark. This is reading out of Matthew's. Matthew's, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's turn over to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22, we find it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Now, let's read Mark. I want you to notice this. This is the same thing. This is the same instance, apparently. I said to you on an occasion when I was talking to you about this, that history says that at the very time that Jesus cursed this fig tree, that the Sanhedrin was in conference planning how that they might kill Jesus or do away with Jesus. At the very same time, they said this happened. So Jesus, being hungry, he looked upon the tree. Whereas the Bible uses the terms in the parabolic speech as to proverbial, it says, "And the good man came to his vineyard looking for fruit and found none." And he says, "What? Year after year I come and I find no fruit on this tree." And he said, "Why cumbereth it the ground? Cut it down." And the man that was in charge of it said, "Don't cut it down. Let me dung around it a little longer and then come again. And if there then be no fruit, then we'll cut it down." See, so Jesus here, history could be right. Jesus here comes to your tree and to my tree, and he looks for fruit. And the Bible said he's looking for perfect fruit. Said, "And these bring no fruit to perfection." Some people bring forth fruit, but they're not diligent to the extent that they're really consecrated in the spirit of holiness, and they never bring forth perfect fruit. We speak of the full reward. So then when we think of these things, we have a great comparison here. Now, I'd like to say I'm glad to see my little granddaughter. She got burned, but she was courageous, and here she is in church. And she's feeling all right. We prayed for her, and they'd done everything they could for her, and God undertook, and with their aid and with prayer, and she's all right. Like I was telling somebody just before this occurred, I said, "You know, I'm the kind of preacher that I believe that you ought to do everything you can for yourself, whether medical-wise or whether, you know, for your health or your finance or whatever." I said, I can't see sitting down asking the Lord to wash my feet or help me wash my feet or help me wash, you know, brush my teeth. I said, "I'm afraid he might answer and say, well, I gave you hands to, you know, I did help you. And I gave you some understanding to get a little soap and whatever's needed." So I believe that we ought to do all we can when the wound is there, pouring the oil and the wine. The Bible said, and A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, or that his medicines do good. As the Bible said, in that day there'd be no healing medicines, which makes us to know that the healing is of God. And when grace has taken away the blood off the seat of atonement, there won't be any healing in the day of the administration of the Antichrist. Since I believe that we ought to do all we can, and then what we can't do, then we ought to believe God for. That's his opportunity. And that's what we try to do. But anyway, I'm glad that she's here. And she's feeling all right. I want you to pray for her. I told her I'd ask you to pray for her. All right, folks. So we see that this is one and the same thing. It's Mark and it's Matthew's. And in every case where these four men wrote the gospel concerning Christ and being acquainted with his ministry, they wrote it in a little different way. A little bit different. And they say the same things, but they approach it in just a little different way. Like you might see two people standing up speaking in tongues. They might be saying the same thing. And might be an interpreter. He might interpret both times. And he might give it in a different vocabulary expression. But he might be saying the same thing if you listen real close. See, because if they're saying the same thing, the Spirit will interpret it the same way. And person gets up to prophesy. They might prophesy and say something. Another man might get up to prophesy and say something and say the same thing, and yet they might use a different approach as to their vocabulary utterance. So then here these men speak of the same thing, even the life of Christ, and where he is headed in from Bethany. If you ever been to Bethany, having been in Jerusalem about seven times, we've been to Bethany a number of times where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived. And this was a place that not too far out of Jerusalem that Jesus resorted to. I want you to try to take hold of this. I'm not going to try to get into Revelation unless the Lord speaks to us. I'm not going to try to get into a long message or into Revelation. I hardly can open my mouth if people are hungry and start drawing. But what I don't get into Revelation, that's just routine, you know. When you're hungry and thirst, the Spirit automatically speaks to you. But nevertheless, sometimes I try not to do that unless I feel it's the Lord. Because if I don't feel the hunger and thirst, I don't like to get into it because I don't have the time to really bring it out as to a mystery. And I need to bring it out as a mystery to get it on tape, to record these things. And when it goes out to people, I don't like for it to be all fuddled up as to an interruption. So just speaking in the simplicity of the gospel this evening. And that, of course, is still a tremendous, wonderful thing, and especially if you talk about faith. For what is greater than faith? The very thing that brings us salvation. Faith is so powerful. I've used it so many hundreds of times, thousands of times. I live by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. I live by faith. I always look to God for faith. See, I don't try to figure out how much finance I'm going to get out of this man or that man or another man. I don't count tithe money to say how much did we get this week and that kind of thing. I don't carry money with me. I don't handle money. I go by faith. And faith always works. All over the world, faith works. I don't have to have any money with me. I go by faith. I don't have to do any special thing. I go by faith. I don't have to look in any special direction to any special person. I go to God by faith. And I say, Lord, you promised to supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. If men give into my bosom, you said, so shall men give into my bosom. Good measure, pressed down, heaped together, running over. For the preparation of man's heart is from God. And you give to man and you prepare man's heart to do what you will. You rule in the affairs of men. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. You have your way in the good and evil. Can evil come to a city and you've not sinned it, saith the Lord? Oh, that is as the scripture reads. So I say, Lord, I'm looking to you. And sure enough, all things beautifully work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose. So the Lord meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Always takes care of it. Whether it's TV, whether it's radio, whether tent meetings, crusades, overseas crusades, whatever it might be. He abundantly blesses and helps us. Now, so then I trust in God. The Bible said, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And I've proven faith. And God has kept me healthy. God has kept me well. He's taken care of my family. He's taken care of all of my needs, physically, financially, spiritually, naturally, whatever it might be. And we rejoice in the Lord. So then, here Jesus, he was that kind of person. Jesus was the kind of person that he trusted in the Heavenly Father for everything. He looked to God for everything. His Heavenly Father met all of his needs. And here he didn't have any money. He didn't have any scrip. And now it was time for breakfast and he didn't have any breakfast. So as he comes along, he looks for some figs on the tree and he wants some breakfast. And there's no figs there, for it's not the time of figs. And yet, can you say it's not the time of figs? You know, when the master come along and he planted the fig tree and he gave it its season. Can you say this? It's not the right season. I say again, if God is present, it's the time of the season. We're to be instant in season when it's out of season. We're to be instant to do whatever needs to be done when it's out of season. So the Bible said be instant in season, out of season. So then here's an out of season, and that tree should have been instant, and it should have given to God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, a tree? You know, and a man coming by? How can a tree do that? Well, this was no ordinary man. And besides that is the vision I saw when I saw the vision of him. And he came down the little dusty road and all these trees were in a row. In my vision, all those trees did obeisance. They bent over and bowed before him. So this tree should have took a bow. So here is God, and yet the Lord suffered it to be like that he might curse that tree. Maybe, as history said, to show us the condition of the Jews and what was about to happen to the Sanhedrin. In that he didn't find any fruit in the time of his hunger. And this is my will, the Lord said, that ye should bear much fruit. So then we see this, and here's this man that always lived by faith. And he comes along and he says to the tree, from henceforth and forever, no more fruit will grow on you. And then when they came back by, after Jesus perhaps had finished preaching, coming back by, and maybe over the evening, he was tired. And Peter, a man that was real observing, he said, Lord, look at this tree. And he probably called some of the disciples and was all excited. And he said, this tree is dead. He said, well, I remember, you know, like as in the morning or the next day. Whenever, you know, I remember that he said to this tree that you're never going to bear any more fruit. And said it's dead. And the strange thing is that it has died from its roots up. Folks, trees don't die from the roots up. They don't do that. They just don't do that. And they die as the sap goes down. But this one, something had smote it in the roots. Right in the roots. And it died. And a strange thing happened here a number of years ago. We had a tree down back of the building down here. The big house that you've got. And we planted this tree. And the tree was in the way. And something happened. I don't remember what it was. But I thought, well, this tree will just have to be moved. And I said, Lord, I got to move this tree. I don't want it here. Well, immediately something happened to that tree. And would you believe that tree died from the roots up? And as it broke off, it was dead here. And up in the upper part, it was just as green and alive as it could be. But anyway, I thought, mine, that is something the Bible said it'll come to pass that you'll hear before we ever call. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here I have a desire, and the Bible said, decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. And said, when you pray, whatever you desire, you know, just believe you'll have it. Be careful what you say, because if you say, believe in your heart, and don't doubt, you'll have whatever you say. And so then Jesus is telling them this right here. He is saying, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that old song, you know, whosoever surely meaneth me. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, shall come to pass, He shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, and right there, I know we kind of get a hang up, but it says, if he saith to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. The Bible said the heart is desperately wicked, deceitfully above all things, and who can know it? As the Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Letting this mind be in you. What kind of mind? That mind that could say to the mountain and not doubt. So he says here, now, you have the privilege of allowing this mind to be in you as you're tutored. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith by the hearing of the word. Alright, so then, he is saying, how faith, not in yourself, not in your fast, not in your prayer, not in your overcoming life, as you call it, not as to your wholeness, your righteousness, or anything else. But he said, have faith in the Spirit. Have faith in the Word. For he said, in the beginning was God. God was the Word. The Word was made flesh. My words are spirit and life. Have faith in the word of spirit that is spoken to you, saying, I've given unto you all things that pertain unto life. And the word of spirit that says this unto you, that whosoever, to decree a thing in your heart, to say and not doubt, to believe, ask what you will, don't doubt in your heart. You'll have what you ask for when you pray. So then Jesus says, don't doubt. Don't doubt. So often when he would come to visit with someone, or someone would come to him for prayer, and they would ask of him, he would say, don't doubt. They'd say, well, don't trouble the master. The individual is dead. Or some, don't doubt, he said. Don't doubt. Death has nothing to do with it. He raised the dead. His people raised the dead. We have power over death. So then he said, don't doubt, only believe. Don't doubt. And he says here, don't doubt in your heart. You know, you can't stop thoughts from coming to your mind up here. Isn't that right? You can't stop that. But he said, don't doubt in your heart. Do thy diligence to keep thine heart. For out of thine heart comes forth the issues of life. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. What a simplicity. Don't doubt. And he said, and verily I say unto you, Peter, unto you that are with me, I'm Jesus, I did this, but I'm a man. And I say unto you that are walking with me, if thou canst believe in thine heart, ye not only can do what you just saw me do, said, for I go away, I send the comforter back. And these things that I've done, ye shall do greater things because I go unto the Father. But not only shall ye do these things, as to this tree, he said, but I say unto you that whatever you say, if you don't doubt, he said, I say unto you that whatever you say, if you say it, you say it. You don't have to ask it. He said, I say unto you that whatever you say, if you don't doubt in your heart, and here's the secret. But if thou canst believe, if thou canst actually believe in thine heart, not in your head now. A lot of believers in the world that believes in their head, but they don't have salvation. They are believers, but they don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have salvation. They are believers, which means reflectors, and they are with you, just as Judas was as a believer. And they are with you as reflectors, as those wandering stars that reflect your light. And they're very religious, but they don't have the spirit of holiness on the inside. And their desire is for their belly and for fame and popularity and the things of the world. And as the Bible said, they have the love of the world in them, and the child is known by his doings. Trying to mix religion with the world, or trying to mix darkness with the light, are the spiritual things with their fleshly desire, having the gullible desires to the love of the world in them. The Bible said, if the love of the world's in them, the love of the Father isn't there. But I'm speaking of reality. If thou canst believe in thine heart. He said, if you do believe in your heart. Now, then the thought arises like this. Now, Jesus, you said to believe in my heart. What are you talking about? What do you mean, believe in my heart? What do you mean I've got to believe in my heart? You know, somebody said, well, you've got to believe in the Word. That's true. But when I believe what He said right here, I'm believing in the Word. You understand? I'm believing in the Word when I believe what He said right here. He said, whosoever that saith something and don't doubt. I'm believing in the Word right there. Because that's what the Word said. But this is what Jesus said. He said, and if thou canst believe in thine heart that whatever you have said, who do I believe then? I say, to the mountain be thou removed. And what must I believe? I must actually be convinced down in my heart that because I told that mountain to get out of my way, that it's just going to jump up and move. That's where the close quarters is. That's where the people cannot get God to answer the prayers. That's where they rave and holler over people and jump and say he's been healed and all these things have been done. They go away the same and in a few days they die or whatever it might be. See, because they say, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And they put on a commotion and they push people down and they dance and they go around. And people just do all kind of things and they just make a great big commotion and whip it up on the organ, you know, and everybody hollers hallelujah and that person goes on and dies. I know this to happen many, many times. Even as great and mighty as Brother Oral Roberts is, I've seen him flash back years from the time that he prayed from somebody. This person that he prayed for died immediately. And they had it recorded where they recorded it. When they flashed it back on the TV, it showed this person that was now dead. People have gimmicks. Not saying that that was a gimmick, because those things happen with many people. But thing is, I'm just trying to bring you something. People have gimmicks. Like a friend of mine, a minister in the Assemblies of God, he came to me and he was very upset. He said that there was a letter that came in from an evangelist to his mother and said, this letter said, and God has revealed you to me and told me about you and your condition and all these things, and this is thus saith the Lord, and you're to send me an offering, you're to do this and all these kind of things. And you know there are gimmicks, you know. I'm sitting here on TV and somebody says, I feel something. A million people out there and I feel something, you know. But anyway, those ministers are soon overthrown and that foolishness soon goes down the drain. But this minister, he was upset because he said, Brother Pike, this man has sent for an offering and went through this gimmick or whatever that he does to people. Said, I know it's a gimmick because my mother's dead and been dead for years. And he talks about what God told him about it. All right. Now, how many know dead folks don't give offerings? But nevertheless, this is the way the world is. You know, I write it out. You're going to die pretty soon, and you're an old woman, and you're an old man, and pick your will out and do something for God and all these kind of things. That's fine if somebody wants to make their will out. But I'm talking about these showboys and fly by night and all this kind of corruption. See, and with this, you cannot be more than a believer. And the only way you can be a believer is because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And while you're in the presence, as Judas was in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and you're protected by the blood covering. And someone said, well, the blood had never been shed then. The Bible said the blood was shed from the foundation of the world. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Your name's written down in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was, as to the predestinated of God and brought to light at Calvary, as to the foreknowledge of God. So then are ye left. All right, so then getting back to the major theme of our thought, here we are, and we find that the thing that we've got to believe is what we have said. Now folks, that's the test right there. You know why a man don't get healed? As a rule. Now there's exceptions to things, and I know that. But as a rule, you know why a man don't get healed when you pray for him? Or a woman don't get healed? Somebody said, well, because the evangelist is rotten. No, not necessarily. There could be a telephone post out here. There could be a power plant hanging on that thing that's got 440 in it or more. And it can be coming right down to the building and it can be run right down to the receptacle. But the receptacle can be dead. And it doesn't get anything and yet the power's there. You can throw the switch of faith, but they don't get any connection. See, faith can be moving. God can be moving, like Peter spoke to them. And the Bible says that while he spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, fell upon them. I've been preaching many times. And all of a sudden, I'd feel the Holy Ghost settling down over the audience because people would start believing. Where there's faith, God begins to move. Two or three in His name, God begins to move. Any two of you agreeing and touching anything in the earth, God will do it for you. Somebody said, well, we agreed. Both of us said, Lord, that devil's gone. We cast him out in the name of Jesus. Or, Lord, this man is healed. Folks, that don't mean you agree. You know, two fellows walking together, they might drink Coke together, they might eat hamburger together, they might have conversation together, but that don't mean that they're in agreement. One of them over here might be drinking Coke with him to figure out how to poison him so he can get his $1 million that this other fellow's got. You don't know what's behind the scene. But if you find two people that actually are holy, godly people, then they do agree in spirit. And they have the same motive. For the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind, all in one accord. They get in one mind, and these two do agree. They're trying to be about their Father's business. Then when this thing takes place, and then you come together, and that person that you're praying for have faith in God, and you pray sincerely, folks, just like that, something happens. I said the other day, you know, I don't go along with this thing where we sit around and we sit around and we say, we prayed for that man 15 years ago. And we say, brother, be patient. He said, well, I didn't get healed. Well, I saw it. We pray for you again. We prayed for him 50 times. So he didn't get healed. And say, well, the problem is you have to have patience. And soon they put him in a coffin so he had patience. And now everything's okay. I don't believe in that kind of healing. See, even though that does happen. See, I don't believe that you lay hands on people and pray for people, and then people sit around for 2 years, 3 years, and sometimes dies, you know, and you just tell them to be patient. That's the way it is. You know, you say, brother, don't lose your faith. How can you say, brother, don't lose your faith when he ain't got no faith? Oh, somebody says he's definitely got faith. Well, how does he have faith? If he has faith, why wasn't he healed? Oh, somebody said, well, you can have faith and not be healed. Have faith in what? Oh, somebody said, well, you could have faith in God. Have faith in God for what? His healing. Oh, no, there's no days like that. Now, he might have faith in God for salvation, and he might have salvation, for it's according to your faith. But he doesn't have faith in God for healing or even healed. Oh, somebody said, well, you got to be patient. You got to understand. Could I ask you a question? How long did you have to be patient when you asked God to save you? How long did it take him to save you? Oh, somebody said, well, I'm still patient. The Bible said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Don't you understand the scripture? I certainly do understand the scripture. The Bible was simply saying that nobody can endure to the end except he that was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody else can overcome the devil. So you can mark them that endure to the end because they had the Holy Ghost all the time. They were elect before the foundation of the world. And it was said that when Paul preached to them, that were before of old ordained unto life, these believed, and the others did not. Because they were ungodly men before of old ordained unto condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, that is taking advantage of being religious and not living right. As I say again, Esau have I hated. Jacob have I loved. The children not yet being born, that might stand by him that calleth. And not of works, as to say, you know, the gifts of God are not given through repentance. But they're given by foreknowledge. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, when you ask God to save you, he saved you if you were sincere. Now you might play around with him, not believe, go to the altar, go through the ritualistics, go through a dozen services, go 10 years. But that's exactly what I'm talking about healing. You didn't get saved no more than you got healed. But from the very moment that you get down on your face and you mean business, the scriptures can't be altered. It can't be changed. The Bible said that God will not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. Neither will he change it, but he will hasten to perform his word. And it will accomplish that he please, and he'll have his pleasure in it. It won't return unto him void. Now, what does the Bible say? And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved without change and without alteration. And folks, that's exactly the way faith works. The very minute that Jesus said, Peter, come to me, Peter stepped on the water. He believed God. He kept his eyes on God and he walked on the water. No man had ever done it except Jesus. And the very minute that Peter began to doubt, down he went. And the very minute he began to have just enough faith to believe God would give him a merciful hand, the merciful hand came down. So then how does faith work? Faith works instantaneously. Can faith work any other way? Sure, it can work another way. If you have a faith as to graduality, the Bible said that if you call on the Lord and believe, then they shall recover. Or if you lay hands on them, they shall recover. This can be a process of days as to the recovery. Someone will say, there you are. See, the man had faith to be healed. He certainly did. He had faith accordingly as to X amount of days of recovering. His faith was not strong enough for instantaneous healing or strong enough for the miraculous of God, or he got it like that. See, but it was according to their believing. All right, so then we look at this and we understand what the problem is in the church today and why the discrepancies and why God is continually reproached. Then on God's part, it's on our part because we fail to go with God. We fail to do what God told us. He said, come out from the world. Be a separate people. Be virtuous. If anything have any virtue in them, think on these. He said, and lift up the feeble hands that hang down. Make a straight path for yourself. He said, don't be the old serpent that's on your belly all the time eating and drinking. But he said, make a straight path for yourself, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. See, and then the Bible tells us, when Jesus was there, the man brought the little boy to these people, that is the disciples, tried to get the devil cast out of him. He couldn't. Couldn't do it. And so then Jesus said, bring him hither to me. So when they brought him to Jesus, Jesus wanted to know how long this thing was upon him. The dad, he wept, you know, and he said, long time. Oft they cast him into the fire and tries to take his life and into the waters of these kind of things. And Jesus, he spoke, commanded the unclean spirit. It was gone. Remember now, the Bible said, behold, I give unto you, without respect of person, what I say unto one, I say unto all. And he said, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, even death, which is the enemy of God. You pass from death unto life, can never come into condemnation. And he said, I give unto you power, and greater is he, that is Christ within you, than he, Lucifer, the god of this world, that is in this world. All right, so then we see that the detriment is of the church, not the Lord. For the Lord is ready. He said, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God, and they have kept thee back from good things. For my arm is not short that it cannot reach you, like the vision I had the other day when this great arm came out of heaven down to me. I didn't tell you at that time, but when this arm came down out of heaven to me, I was on the bed. I'd come up from that great fall that I told you. I still had my faith because when I went down like this in that great ravine, like a death, burial, resurrection. And I was holding my faith fast, and I come up like that and found myself on the bed like that. And I was just trembling in the vision like this, shaking with the anointing of God, with that hand come down out of heaven. For who, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Ah, the words have gone into under all of the earth, into the ends of the earth, but who hath believed our report? So then faith by hearing us to believe him. And he that God sendeth will speak God's word. He won't give you heresy. He'll speak God's word. That way you can tell the difference between them. All right, so the child is known by his doings. To have a clean heart, to have a pure heart, to make straight paths for ourselves, to have virtue, have our minds in subjection with God, to cast down the imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus. And this, of course, that is that we all together love him with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength. And we lose our life in his behalf that we may gain eternal life. For if we seek to save our life as to our own doings, and we lose our life, so then we see the greatness of God in man. Here is the Spirit of the Lord. See, that is to say, Jesus said, I say unto you, that if thou canst believe what you have said, that's a hard thing. You know, you walk over to a dead man and you say, get out of there. You know, you scream and you holler and you dance and you shout and do all kinds of things, but he don't get out of there. You know, and you're ever so religious and been religious 20 years. They said, Jesus, why could we not cast this devil out? Jesus simply said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Somebody said, well, God wants us to be holy in spirit. The Bible said, be holy in body and spirit. I seek to present you before God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So then, they said, why could we not do it? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Then he gave the secret. He said, howbeit, this kind goeth forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. Oh, that is, your faith is going to have some works. For your faith without works is dead. But brethren, Christ's faith as to sanctification and salvation don't need any works. Well, they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, as concerning this faith, I am the works of God. This work was finished before the foundation of the world. And he said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law or without works. Or blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works or without anything that he does. So he imputeth unto them faith for righteousness. But that's Christ's faith by which you're sanctified. So what then am I saying? It's hard when you stand over a dead man to actually believe that he's going to get out of that coffin. It's hard when you stand and look at a blind man and actually believe when you say, receive thy sight. To really believe that his eyes are going to come open. Like Peter said to the man at the gate called Beautiful, he said, gold and silver have I none, because the man looked on him as wanting an offering, expecting to receive something. So he was in a condition of believing, having been crippled from his mother's womb. And then when he said to Peter, you know, or looking to Peter for something, speaking as to an offering, Peter said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I do have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he reached and got his hands and began to pull on him. And up came the man. For the Bible said, immediately the Spirit of God struck this man, and this man's ankle bones received strength. And he began to leap and run, shouting, brought all the people together, because it was a great miracle. And like Paul said to the man, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. He said, stand upon your feet. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And the man came up like that. I always remember when we were down in Mexico and we was having a meeting there in the Bull Arena when they called us over to this little old shack, this little old way out of the way place back in the hills there. And this woman, we went over there and she's so little. I told you that I actually took my fingers like that, put them together and run up and down her arm. It was so small, even the muscular part. She was laying there on this little seat that they'd taken out of some kind of a car. That had been her bed. And I had sent word for them to bring her to the Bull Arena. We'd pray for her because they wanted prayer. And they said, well, she can't come. She's too weak, too nigh to death. So because of this, I went over there. And when I got over there, I began to talk with her. And I prayed for her. And I felt God heal her. And I turned to her to tell her God healed her. And somebody's so excited, one of her relatives, because they were standing there, my wife was standing there, they run over there and grabbed her, and up she come from that seat. And when she come up from there, relatives begin to cry, and the power of God began to move, and the Lord healed the woman. And the woman, I turned and looked at her, and I said, she was too weak to come, but I said, this evening she'll be in my meeting right over in the Bull Arena out in the hot sun. I said, she'll be over there. That evening she was over there, sitting right there in my meeting. God had healed her. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, all that is to say, faith works. Many times we've had healings, miracles, and divine things that God has given us. Now, see, Jesus Christ heals. Jesus Christ saves. We've seen the same thing here, where this epilepsy devil, we prayed and those devils had to depart. And people left medication. And those things left. And they were well after that. seeing these wonderful things happen. See, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I'm just saying this. We believe in His righteousness. Can you actually believe that when you look at blind eyes and you say, "Be thou healed in the name of Jesus Christ," can you actually believe in your heart that those eyes are going to come open? That's where the crossing is. Folks, I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus, you just live a simple, plain, common life. And you don't have to be nothing extra special. You just live for God as a saint of God. And the Bible said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. Healing will come. The miraculous will come." Somebody said, "Well, that means that will follow the people in the church." It didn't say it would follow the people in the church. Somebody said, "Why doesn't it follow the people in the church if God didn't lie about it? And if His word is for us today? And if this is right?" Folks, why put God down in your mind and listen to the devil of your own intellectual reasoning when you know you're born a bastard child to start with? And have to be born again and have to doubt to it. You know, God is no liar. He's not altered His word. He's done exactly what He said. He never did say that these signs would follow them that was in the church. He said these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't matter whether they're in the church or wherever they're at. They're still part of God's church. He's talking about believers. Wherever there's believers, there's signs. There might be millions of people that are churchy and no signs. But, beloved friend, when you find believers, you find signs and wonders. Let's give the Lord that. The Word of God is exactly to a T. No alterations and no changes. All right, what did He say? He said, "Have faith in God, and I say unto you, and whatever I say unto one, I say unto all. Now, if thou canst say unto this thing, as to your desire, and not doubt, but believe in your heart, as to what you say, ye shall have whatsoever you say." Whew, don't that sound good? Some of us will lie. I know it says that, but I ain't never seen nobody do it. Well, praise God, you're looking at one that done it. It's been my life. It's been my life. Home and abroad and everywhere I've ever been, I have called those things that are not as though they are. I've looked at them and said, "God, it's got to be like this, and it's going to be like this because You said it would be like that." If I said it and didn't doubt, and folks, it came to pass is exactly. So I thank God, and I've continued unto this day around the different parts of the world, having preached around the world unto this day, and God has always provided all of my needs according to His riches and glory. I've never had to take money in my billfold. I've never had to have money on my person. I've never had to have money with me. Somebody said, "Well, you're fanatic and you're crazy." I take money with me. That's fine. I have nothing against that. I think that's great. Money will do you a lot of good, and you can keep it with you. A lot of times you can get something cold to drink or whatever, but I've never had to do that. He's always given me something to drink when I was thirsty, just sitting around. Even before I ask of Him, it would be somebody would come or something would happen. Always provided for me to eat. I always eat good. I eat steak out in the places all around. As a matter of fact, somebody bought me a steak today. Let's give the Lord. Somebody said, "Well, you're just burdened, folks." I didn't burden Him. He thought it was a privilege to do it. All right. "So inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these, you did it unto Him. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and will be judged accordingly." And this man not only thought it was good to buy me a steak, but on the way back, he decided to buy me a watermelon, buy me some cantaloupes, and buy me some plums, and I don't know what all kind of things he bought me. "So shall men give into your bosom. The preparation of men's heart is from God." So let me close with just a few sayings here now. Can you actually believe that? That's where the problem is. What must I do, Brother Pike? Stay with God. Pray, talk with God. Until you get convinced that what God said can't be changed or altered. And when you become thoroughly convinced, then you'll say it and believe it's going to happen. You'll say it and believe it's going to happen. Because see, you've wrestled with your heart. John said, "Do the things that please God as to confident your heart. And then you convince your heart by these things." And then doth the heart have confidence in God that what you ask of him, he heareth you. And we know that we have the petition we desire of him because he heareth us. It's that simple. It's that simple. Faith isn't complicated. Folks, I believe that you should endure temptation. And if you're suffering and suffering and suffering, and you're willing to endure temptation, that's wonderful. And God doesn't get any glory out of your suffering. Only in the sense that you're willing to suffer that he gets glory out of. See, God wants you healed. He's the divine healer. He went about doing good healing. All that was oppressed of the devil, always without respect to person. So see, if you want to suffer for Christ's sake and that you're willing to do it, that's your business. See, but the miracle is great. It shows people the testimony of Christ. And if you patiently want to wait a year and another year, as many people have done, beloved saints of God, because they didn't understand, it wasn't taught. They didn't press in that much. But God blessed their hearts. And if you wait for a year or 10 years or whatever, you be sure his word is right. And if you ever do muster up faith accordingly, like that, God will hear you. And God will heal you. And God will do exactly to you, what he said he would do. And that you've got all power over the powers of the enemy. But remember this one thing in closing. He said, when you pray, if we're going to bring it to prayer, when you pray and you desire anything, and you're going to ask God for it, he said, when you ask God for it, believe that you receive it. That is not believe that you're going to receive it, but calling those things that are not as though they are, say, I thank you, Lord, you gave it to me. And believe it. When you believe it, faith is the substance of that thing that you're hoping for, Paul said. It's the evidence of that thing that you can't see, that it already belongs to you. Like they take it into the courts, that's the evidence of the thing that happened. You understand what I'm saying? So then, if you read God's word, and the Bible said, by stripes you were healed. If you ask, God will give it to you. Then confess your healing by saying, I'm healed. I asked God for it, he done it. Go on until you convince your heart. If nothing don't happen, go on until you convince your heart, because the minute faith hits your heart, you'll be healed. You understand? Don't get into that rut saying, well, if I keep on trying, after a while I'm going to believe. Don't do that, because you're ever putting it off. You're ever putting it off. But convince yourself that you've been healed. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you believe a lie and be damned. No. He was healed before the world ever was. It's in the atonement. He's already given it to you in Christ. All things that pertain to life. And what I'm saying is, the Bible said he sent his word and healed.
That's right.
And if he gave you his word, David said, his word have I hid in my heart. The very time that I hear his word or read his word, says I'm healed, whatever, I hide that in my heart. What have I got in my heart? My healing. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the healing word. That's why we wrote the tract, The Healing Word. So then that's the healing word. You do have your healing. You're not confessing a lie. His word cast out the unclean spirit. His word healed them. His words not altered, changed, don't return void. It's in my heart. It's spirit and life and healing. So then by it he created the world. By it he created me. So he gave me his word. I said, my God, I hid that in my heart. Now I'm healed. And you begin to think like that in your heart. And the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I don't mean, as I say so often, think in your head you're a millionaire when you're a pauper, because you ain't going to be a bit richer. You'll just be classified as being insane. When you think that you are a doctor, when you are a lawyer, or that you are a Chinese when you are a German. You understand what I'm saying? Folks, that's in your head. Thinking that you are something is just, it gets you in the insane asylum. Thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. But folks, when you believe in your heart to the extent that your heart thoughts think according to a medical doctor as to his mind of diplomacy, or as the pilot according to his mind of diplomacy, and you have the thoughts as to that diplomacy, as to whatever that might be, then you've got the mind of that builder. I've got the mind of Christ. That means I am a son of God because he was a son of God. Somebody said, well, you don't look like it. That don't have anything to do with it. The flesh profiteth nothing. He said it, I believe it, so I am. Have we got any more sons of God? For the Bible said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? All right, so there you are. Don't confess a lie and be damned. Somebody said, well, I believe I am a son of God. I think as a son of God. I've got the mind of a son of God. Sure, if you think it's holiness. If you don't think holy and virtuous, you're believing a lie, having strong delusions. You're not a son of God. You're just a believer, all right. You're a reflector. You understand what I'm saying? How can you then say that you are a son of God? How that you can say to me that you have salvation when I don't see anything? I don't see no eternal life. I don't see nothing. And then you say that you can't say by his stripes I'm healed, or that I have his word and I'm healed. How is it that you do that? It's to strain at a net and swallow a camel. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so let's stand together. Praise the Lord for his wonderful, wonderful blessings. I didn't mean to take so long. I really didn't. But these things go out on TV. They go out into homes and schools. On the radio. Some of our people, they get these things and take them in their home. They study these things that they might have faith. When you pray, believe that then and there it's yours. It's all sealed up. It's done. You ask. As it was said when Jesus prayed, it was said, in what hour was it? The man inquired as to when the healing came. They told him, he said, the very self same hour the Lord said, he's made whole. Oh, hallelujah. I can feel the Holy Ghost. You know, how great is a man? A man and a woman ain't nothing. Scum, dirt, vomit, that's rotten, throw it away. Unless they have God. But folks, when they have God, they are gods. Jesus said, you are gods. You live forever. A God is something that can't die. Generations die, but gods don't die. See, and you live forever. We say this so many times for the enlightening of the minds is to say, somebody says, he said that you're gods. They stoned Jesus for that, saying that he was the Son of God. And then again, we say so often, your ears have recorded it many times. When a dog bring forth dogs. They're dogs. Just pups, but they're dogs. When a bird hatches off, they're little chicks-like, as we say, bitties, but they're birds. And when an elephant brings forth, it's an elephant. And a lion, it's a lion. A beast is to a beast. A human being brings forth, it's a human being. We all right readily agree to that because we're born to that, and that's what we are. But folks, when we say that when someone is born of God, a God just came into existence, we can't digest that. But what makes you think that a human being begets human beings and a God don't beget gods? You love the Lord? So then Jesus said, you're gods. And in the Old Testament it's recorded, in the book of Psalms, you're gods, but you shall die like men from the lack of knowledge, or knowing that ye are gods, as to believing right on into heaven as Jesus stood there on the mount, having finished the course. Not to die, but to be translated. Some not seeing death, going on to finish the course, bringing the dead out of the grave. All right, let's sing this chorus, can we? I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and will give him glory, all ye people. Oh, for his blood has washed away. Can you sing that with me? The altars are open. I will play. I will give him glory, all ye people, for his
the way every step.
You love the Lord?
I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine.
Can you believe it?
Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
All right, let's sing this little simple song. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing it with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the rough seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy beams, but in Jesus I am saved. Evermore I need, Lord, I need Thee. And I need Thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need. So don't turn away. So don't turn Him away. Oh, He has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let Jesus in to stay. How you'll need Him to plead your cause on that eternal day.
Oh, listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found thee amongst the lilies, there blooming by the way. And I thank thee for thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every morning night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walk through. Life can't be all sunshine, how the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, hardly be no for I thank thee for the valleys I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walked through today. Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Will ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. When the moment of our until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in 1,000,000 years. Where will be? Say it more time. Where will you be? I this question.
You love the Lord?
Can you give him a hand?
Let's sing another chorus to close. He was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. My Lord was here all the time.
One more time together now.
Jesus was here all the time. He was here. Waiting patiently in line, he was here all the time. When we stand upon the mountain, looking over into gives me faith that I can make it after all. Sing that with me. For after all, that life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and to stand upon the mountain, I'll so he's prepared, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you sing it one more time? After all is over and my burden is lifted, and I stand Harry gives me faith that I can make it after all. Can you give him a hand? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be. For the angel will stand on the sea and land, and time shall be no more, and time shall be no more, no more, and shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more.
You love the Lord?
Across the bridge,
there's no sir cross the bridge, no sky. Shall shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy across the bridge. There ain't no sorrow across the bridge. There's no sky, or the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. In this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met a stranger on the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's happiness and love, it's true. He said across the bridge, there ain't no sorrow. Said across the bridge, there ain't no sky, or the sun don't shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Can you sing one more time with me, Anne? Said across, there ain't no sorrow. Set across the bridge, no sky, for the sun. And I'll never be unhappy again. Let's give the Lord a hand. And I will praise Him. And I would ask Brother Pasden to come, if he will, tonight and dismiss us. The Lamb for sinners slain. He was slain for sinners. Give Him glory, all for His blood has washed away. Once again now, together, and we will praise, we